Okay, please take your Bible and go to John, Gospel of John, chapter 17. We are still going to continue in the vein of to know me. So, we looked at this last week. It says these words, verse 1. Spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. Tremendous that we have that privilege, honor, and the God-given right to know our Heavenly Father, is all the things that we've been looking at, to know our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, and when you think about when he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, no man cometh unto the Father but by me, you know, confesses with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you're saved. There's your ticket. You know, the victory train, we're riding it. Go to Psalms 147. So we're just going to continue looking at some of the greatness of our Father and in what his word declares. And with the blessing that it will enhance your hearts in knowing him. Verse 4, he says, he telleth, and this is God, he telleth the number of the stars. He calleth them all by their names. Remember we talked about attributes, you know, characteristics, accomplishments. Well, how many people do you know can number the stars? And then name each one of them. Interesting. Verse 5, great is our Lord and of what? Great power. His understanding is infinite. You know, he is a God of power. You know, and go to Jeremiah. And one of the things that I just always stand in amazement is how the more I read the Word, and, you know, this all got started when I was looking at God of abundance, you know, God of absoluteness. And all this stuff is the stuff that I keep coming across as I'm reading. And the more you read it, the more you see that they're packaged in little packages together. You know, it doesn't matter if you go in the Old Testament. It doesn't matter if you go to the New Testament. It doesn't matter if you go to the Gospels. They're packaged in there. The power, the grace, the love, the, you know. It's just who he is. And it's manifested through his word, which we know he magnified above his name. So that we can know. That we can know him. Jeremiah 10. Verse 6. Just for there is, for as much as there is none like unto thee, O Lord, thou art great, and thy name is great in might or in power. You know, the name, it's great. You know, I think of when Israel was told to go into the promised land, and when you read those records, those people were, the men were just, lived in absolute fear of Israel because the God of Israel went before them. You know, just the name of the God of Israel. You know, that was enough. You know, because he's that. He's the God of power. Jeremiah 32. Move along here. This is an old goodie. Verse 17 says, O Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm. And there is nothing too hard for thee. I mean, come on. I mean, that's our dad. And when you think about all the stuff that we got on our plates, you know, who do we go to? And here's where fear comes in, is we look at our resources and our need. But if we look at God, who supplies all our need, and his resources, ability, then that's when the peace sits in, doesn't it? Instead of the fear. Because when you look at your own resources, poof, You know, they're never going to, it's never going to equate to what is really going to be needed most of the time. But Daddy, boom, you know, but by his great power, see, the heavens were made, the earth, by that, and is there anything too hard for thee? Psalms 29. Verse 4 says, the voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. See, well, you know, that's that figure, you know, the voice of the Lord, his words, when he speaks. You know, and there's so much we've looked at where he purposes, he, you know, well, we just read it, you know, by his power. In the other verses, it says, by his word, you know, the heavens were formed by his great power. And, you know, in Ephesians 1, it talks about that we have the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, that he wrought, manifested in when he raised Christ from the dead. The exceeding greatness of that power. Go to Hebrews 4. You know, that in Christ, the exceeding greatness of that power to us who believe. What a daddy. Verse 12 says, for the word of the Lord is quick and powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. But it's powerful. Why? Because it's a God of power. And his voice has power and majesty. You know, why wouldn't it be the word of power? Go to 2 Corinthians. Yeah, we're just going to keep moving along. And again, all these things that we look at, there's, you know, each and every one of them is a major study in and of itself. You know, this is just the tip of the iceberg, just to give you just a little blessing. Second Corinthians 13. Verse 11 says, finally, brethren, farewell, be perfect, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace. And the God of what? Love and peace shall be with you. The God of love. You know, how tremendous that is that we see that in the age of grace, big time. But again, that love of God is so huge. Go to 1 John. Again, this is about our dad. These are characteristics. This is stuff that he is. And again, he cannot lie. So when he tells us something like this, it's the truth, and you cannot change. First John chapter 4. Verse 7, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. It is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. He is what? Love. See, he is love. And this was manifested, the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son in the world that we might live through him. Remember, the God of life. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. That's love. That's huge. Romans 5. Verse 8 says, but God commendeth or proved his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ did what? He died for us. How big is that? You know, God just so loved. Ephesians 2. Verse 4. The first, you know, we can just start in one. It says, and thou, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of the world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation, that way of living in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But, in contrast to all that good stuff we just read, God, who is rich in mercy, for the great love wherewith he loved us. You know, he is the God of love. You know, I got to go there. 1 John chapter 3. And you just keep running this stuff through your brain, boy, it just keeps building a big, big picture of who our daddy is in our heart. Verse 1, Behold, pay attention to this. What manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not because he knew him not. Beloved, boy, that's who we are. Beloved of God. Now are we the sons of God, and it doth not appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And that in and of itself is great love. We're going to see our Lord and Savior as he is. We're going to be like him. Isn't that awesome? What a great love. Now, he is the God of love. None to be compared unto him. No gods like him at all. John 3:16. Gospel of John, please. Maybe taking a little liberty here on this one, but verse 16, it says, for God so loved the world that he gave. God the giver. You know, we know he loved. We covered this verse before. There's other verses, many verses that talk about the great love for us. But he so loved that he gave. He gave. It was a gift. You know, he didn't have to. His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Ephesians 2. Verse 8, it says, for by grace you are saved through believing, and that not of yourselves. It is what? Gift. He's the giver. Go to 2 Peter chapter 1. Verse 3, according as his divine power, again, there it is, hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, to the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that we, by these, we might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. See, he is the greatest giver, you know, prime mover. Go to Hebrews 13. Verse 20 says, now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. See, we read earlier, he's the God of love, God of peace. Well, it's just another verse showing now the God of peace. Go to Romans 16. verse 20, and the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. See, the God of peace, and he shall. Absoluteness. See, we can take it to the bank. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Verse 23, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful, remember, the God of faithfulness is he that calleth you, who also will do it. You know, you see how they package it. You just keep reading, and it just flows. You know, these are the things that he wants us to not only know, but to have in our heart to where it rolls off our lips. Because it rolls out of our heart. You know, what you speak is what you're into. What you love is what you're into. It's just the way it works. Yeah. So we set our affections, like you said, in manifestations. Where? On high. And where he sits. Well, actually where we live. Because that's where he has set us. And one day, bada bing, we're going to be there. That's exciting stuff in and of itself. 1 Peter. Chapter 5. Verse 10 says, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. You know, it's confirmed. He's going to confirm us. But the God of what? All grace. You know, grace is huge. Love is huge. You know, all the things we're reading about are huge because it's our dad, and that's what we get. You know, that's our nature. And that's interesting stuff in and of itself, too. Romans 4. Verse 25 says, who was, and it's talking about Jesus Christ, was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Chapter 5. Therefore, being justified by believing, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by believing into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And that grace is that divine favor, or highly favored of God. You know, and oh my goodness, we have peace with God. There's that peace showing up again. You know, it just rolls. It's just the way Daddy did it. The more you read it, the more you see it, and it's a blessing. Verse 15. But not as the offense, so also as the free gift. There's that gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. Verse 20, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound, that as sin hath reigned in death, even so might grace reign or have kingly sway through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Grace is huge. Okay, back to Ephesians. You just can't get away from Romans and Ephesians when you get into looking at this stuff. Remember, it's the age of grace mentality. You know, so we go back. We're just learning about our dad. That's all. Just learning about who he is, what that name is, what accomplishments, you know. I mean, we talk about it, but to read it and to be able to show other people, you know, well, this is what it says. You know. Chapter 2. Starting verse 4, it says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for the great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together in Christ. By grace you are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace you are saved through believing, and that not of yourself. It is a gift of God. Back to the giver. I think this stuff, I giggle. You're going to hear me giggle, but every time I go into this stuff, I just love the way it just fits. He's just too cool. Daddy's just too cool. Hebrews 4. Again, you know, we read in Jeremiah chapter 9 where it says, you know, if you're going to get excited about something, if you're going to boast about something, you boast about knowing and understanding who your dad is. You know, knowing God, knowing him in the old T. But we know as we look at the Abba, you know, who is all those wonderful things. Verse 16, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. The throne of grace. We got carte blanche. We just remember the forerunner. Jesus Christ went and did it all, cleared the path. Now we just, boom, with all boldness, just come into that throne of grace, looking for it, expecting it, and he will deliver it because he is the God of all grace. Yeah. Go to 1 John. Chapter 1. Verse 5 says, this then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. See, he is the God of light. You know, he is light. He's a God of love. He is love. That's who he is. You know, go to Psalms 36. He is light. And in him is no darkness at all. That just about eliminates 95% of what they teach out there in the world about our God. Verse 9 says, for with thee is the fountain of life, and in in thy light shall we see light. You know, and whose light shall you see? See, you see light in his light, because he's the God of light. You know, Psalms 119, since we're there. Couple goodies. Psalms 119, 105. It says, the word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Well, he's the God of light. His word would be the word of light, right? Sure it would be. You know, and it's that lamp unto our feet, light unto our path, shows us where we're going. 2 Corinthians. Oh, I'm sorry. One more. Go to 130. Yeah. The entrance of thy words giveth what? Light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. But see, that's that entrance of the word. You want light? The word of life, it's the word of light too. And it's the powerful word. You see how they? It's just all one big fat package that God's given us. And it's ours. Remember, the secret things belong to God. But that which he reveals is now ours to hold fast to. And how many times do we hear that in manifestations? Hold fast to my word. You know, just what he does, what he did. And it's ours. Now 2 Corinthians. Chapter 4. Verse 6 says, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. You know, but we have this treasure in earthen vessel, that the excellency of that power may be of God, not of ourselves. Wonderful stuff. But see, it's God that commanded the light to shine out of darkness. And it's God that shined it forth in our hearts. See, and it gave us that knowledge. He's the originator of information, too. That's who he's another God of that. It's just tremendous what he does. My. Go to chapter 1. Same thing. 2 Corinthians. It shined forth in our hearts. That light. In his light we see light. The entrance of his word giveth light. God of light. Verse 3 says, Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies. The Father of mercies. And the God of all comfort. You know, it could be the Father of compassion. You know, Walter handles it that way. And the God of all exhortation. But regardless, you know, he's the Father of the mercy and compassion, or the God of all comfort, all exhortation. That's who he is. That's what he does. Go to Lamentations quickly. It's right after Jeremiah, I believe. Chapter 3. Verse 22 says, It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassion fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. There's a tremendous package right there. You know, mercy's not something that's withheld. Mercy's very active. You know, and it's by the mercies of God. And you know, who's our mercy seat? You know, when you think about where our mercy lies, you know, it's all in the Christ and what God did. You know, he gave. He's so loving, he gave. You know, that and Christ gave his life. You know, that mercy, you know, that's, and his compassions, they don't fail. And they're renewed, like every morning they're brand new. Like he's just got more. You know, he never gets dried up, weary. He never gives second best. Remember, he's the God of abundance too. He just absolutely takes care of all his stuff, because that's what he does. Romans 15. Coming down the home stretch here. Verse 5. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus. There's a standard again, you know. But he's the God of patience and the God of consolation. Hebrews 6. You know, you guys have heard me say many times that we got the bragging rights on the block about our dad. Well, now you understand why I say that. We have the bragging rights because he's the God of all this stuff. And we call him Abba, you know, and our big brother's right there. You know, it's just fun stuff. You know, the word lives. It's a living word. Oops. Yeah, Hebrews 6. Verse 18, that by two immutable things, and that's unchangeable, in which it was impossible for God to walk, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. Really big. The reason I just kept reading that was because I just didn't want to come back to it. The consolation, he's the God of, and then he's also, you're going to read Romans 15. You don't have to get there. But he's the God of hope. verse 13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, he's the God of hope, and he's given us a lively hope. And he cannot lie. Jesus Christ is coming back. And then that's just a kick into the next administration. Remember, what love is he? We're going to see him as he is because we're going to be as he is. See how it just continually flows? It's just a package, the way he put it all together. 1 Thessalonians 4. Verse 13, but I would not have you to be ignorant. It's always going to have to tell us something, huh? Brethren, concerning them which are asleep, and we know that means death, they're dead, that you sorrow not, even as others which have what? No hope. Because he's the God of hope. He gave us that. And if you keep reading, you're going to find out that Jesus Christ is going to bring the dead with him. You know, they're going to get up first. 1 Peter. Close up there. 1 Peter, we're going to go to chapter 1. Verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy, remember he's the Father of it, hath begotten us again, and he's also the God of abundance, hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for who? You. And who are kept by the power of God. What a day. That's today, present, we're kept by his power. You know, and it's just by believing his word. That's what he does. And our future is just ironclad, laid out for us. It's not going to fade away. It's undefiled. It's we got this lively hope, and he's coming back. So this tremendous Abba, who we know as Daddy, Pap, or however it works for you, you know, we also know him as the Creator, you know, the Almighty God or the All-Powerful God, you know, the Lord Jehovah. You know, I'll be whatever they need me to be. You know, he's the God of the Scriptures. He's the true and living God, the God of truth, the faithful God. He's the God of deliverance. He's a God that heals, the God of life, the God of abundance, the God of absoluteness. He's a God of great power, the God of great love, God of great peace, and of all grace. He's a God of light. He's a God of patience and consolation. He's the Father of mercies, compassion, and call it comfort, great exhortation, and he's the God of hope. That's who our dad is. It gives you a little idea of getting to know him just a little bit better and the greatness of who he is and what you can build in your heart, because he is that big, he's that huge. And boy, when we compare everything in our life to what he is, then the fear's got to run, it's got to take a walk, because he is the God of all gods, and there's none like unto him. Daddy, thank you for the greatness of your word. Thank you for the heartfelt thoughts that you gave us, that we may know you, know the greatness of what you set before us, and our Lord, and how that all made it available for us to know all about you. And to just live in the great light of that peace and love and grace and power and all the things that you've given us, because you just so loved, you gave. Thank you, Daddy, in Christ. Amen.